Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, fantasy coaches, and welcome to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. We're through week one, and it was a blast. There were plenty of breakout performances and a few real disappointments. And as usual, we had some serious fantasy-related injuries. So we'll be chatting about all this and more, including your best waiver wire options this week with Nick Radicanu of ProjectRoto.com. As always, I've got producer JP Gale by my side, and I've had a number of people ask me about the bumper music. The song is called Dissolve by a band named Abzofacto. If you get a chance, take a look at the rest of their stuff. They have a really cool sound. I like them a lot. Obviously, that's why we have them on the podcast. All right, let's chat about some fantasy football now. Good morning, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. It was so fun to watch some football. And, you know, as we're recording this, we've got the last game here on. And I'm really hoping that the Rams just get destroyed because I'm from St. Louis. So I want to see the Rams fail.
Vengeance.
All right, let's start with some of these big news and injuries. We'll start with Keenan Allen, who it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season. And I want to ask you, who's going to get these targets? Who are they going to be redistributed to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest, you know, obvious winners are Travis Benjamin and Antonio Gates and Danny Woodhead, actually, as well. I mean, I think those are the three trusted guys that Rivers has, and he's going to they'll all see an uptick in targets from him. You know, the interesting thing, everybody's writing about Tyrell Williams today, and they should, but Dontrell Inman actually had more snaps than him yesterday. So
interesting.
You know, I think you can read a little too much into those things sometimes because, you know, maybe, you know, Williams is younger and he, you know, they want him to grow into the role or whatever. So that doesn't mean that's going to be the situation all season, but you know, I just thought it was interesting. Everybody's got Williams as like their number two waiver pickup, and you never know in situations like that. So to me, Benjamin, Gates, Woodhead, those are the safe guys that you think get the uptick. And, you know, Williams is worth the flyer, but I don't know if I'd go all in on him this week either.
I was reading that Pro Football Focus said Antonio Gates was the worst starting tight end yesterday in terms of how they grade players based
really?
On their tape.
Wow.
And I was really surprised to hear that because I thought that he was still going to be, I guess he can be, we shouldn't overreact to week one. If you're listening and you're overreacting to week one, just calm down. It's week one. It happens every season. And we see guys, you know, like Dez Bryant bounce back and have terrific seasons. So chill out and it's going to be all right. But yeah, Antonio Gates was not very good in week one. And so I think the big winner here is obviously Travis Benjamin. I moved him way up in my rest of season rankings. And the way that I think about rest of season rankings is if the draft was today, where would you take them? So I want to ask you, where would you take Travis Benjamin today?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I think Allen was probably, and I like Allen, so don't get me wrong here, but I think Allen was probably going like, I always thought maybe 8 to 10 picks too high in drafts. Like I saw him going like 10 in some drafts, which is crazy with some of the guys he was going above.
That's nuts. But
yeah, I mean, you know, I always thought he was kind of like an 18 to 22 rank player for me in that like you know, Brandon Cooks-ish reigns, something like that. But anyways, I think Benjamin probably moves up from, what was he, like 70, 80 maybe in draft. So, you know, maybe he's a top 50-ish player to me. I still don't know if I trust him too much. He's not one of those guys that prototypically would take over as a, you know, type one receiver. So I like him. I don't think I would take him above maybe the fifth round in redraft right now.
The way that I think about it is he was the number one. He kind of was the number one. Gary Barnage, I guess you could argue, was the number one in Cleveland. But same kind of situation. I mean, sure, they have a better quarterback. Phillip Rivers is going to sling the ball over the yard. But Benjamin's already been in this situation, and he wasn't super useful. So, you know, it makes me think of Davante Adams after that big injury to Jordy Nelson last year. Totally. And everyone moved him into their top 50, and then he just pooped his pants.
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin's good, but he's more of a burner. So, you know, I almost worry about him a little bit with Rivers, and that, you know, Rivers isn't like a Joe Flacco long ball type guy or RG3 or whatever. But, you know, he's not like a precise route runner like Keenan Allen is. So, you know, again, I like Benjamin, but I don't know if he's going to take over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're just going to feed the rock to Melvin Gordon and see what happens. That would be really, really interesting. All right, Russell Wilson. Who knows how bad this ankle injury is? I mean, we're hearing he could be back this week. It could be serious. And we've seen what happens with serious ankle injuries for quarterbacks. I mean, Sam Bradford tried to play through it his entire second season. It kind of ruined his career because they ended up getting their offensive coordinator fired. And he was terrible after that. He's had a different offensive coordinator pretty much every year. Obviously, that's not going to happen in Seattle. They have a much more stable situation. They actually have weapons. But, you know, an ankle injury, especially to a running quarterback, can really slow down your fantasy production. So what do you think is going to happen when Wilson does come back? And should owners stream or should they pick someone up? Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, who looked great against a very good secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Wilson owner, too, in one of my home leagues. So I'm a little worried, you know, anytime you hear the term walking boot. And I know Pete Carroll said he wasn't in one, but, you know, I don't ever believe those guys either. So I don't know if anybody should. So, yeah, I'm worried. You know, we'll see how he does this week. Supposedly he's going to play. So at that point, you're right. You worry about him aggravating it. If it's like a high ankle sprain, those can last, you know, a good 6 weeks sometimes. So, yeah, Wilson worries me right now. I think I'd probably stream, you know, and I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm a homer through and through. But, you know, Garoppolo's got a tough matchup with Miami coming up, and then he gets Houston, who's pretty good on defense, and then the Bills, and, you know, all those teams blitz a lot. And he looked good last night, so, you know, I guess it might be worth a shot. He has three home games coming up, which is pretty nice. And theoretically, Gronk's healthy, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot, but I guess I'd probably rather stream week to week and just find those better matchup plays than put all my eggs in the Garoppolo basket right now.
Let's talk about Gronkowski. So he's going to come back week two. Is that what you're hearing? And if he doesn't, how long could this go on? I mean, what's the ceiling, I guess you could say, on his injury?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is nobody really knows. Like, he, you know, all the Patriots beat writers had him playing definite, even when he was kind of, Wednesday he popped up as questionable, and all the Patriots
beat writers. He just didn't show up on the flight, so I was wondering if...
Right, well, yeah, that was when it got weird, and then all the beat writers were like, yeah, it looks like he might be out, but nobody really knew. And he had that hamstring injury from, I think it was the Bears game in the preseason, and, you know, who knows? The Patriots are never exactly free with injury information, and, you know, he's one of those guys where there were rumors up here, the talk radio rumors, he might be holding out and this is his way of doing it. But I don't think that's the case. I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, well, they know they've got the division. I want to say sewn up, but, you know, they win it every year for the most part. And I think they can kind of look towards the playoffs. And at this point, with Brady missing four games and Gronk, you know, nursing whatever hamstring injury he has, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep him out like 2-3 games. Especially after winning, you know, against the Cardinals on the road. I think that might make Belichick a little cocky and say, hey, you know, I won without Gronk on the road in Arizona, so hey, why not? I mean, hopefully he's back next week for all of his owners. You know, a lot of people took him in the first round, but it wouldn't shock me if we see him back in like week 3 or 4.
The Patriots have had a bye in the playoffs 6 straight seasons.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it's
amazing.
It's, yeah, I mean, I'm spoiled as a fan, but if I take that out of it, I mean, it's I think they have 15 seasons that they haven't gone even 500. They've been over 500. So, wow. You know, people will throw out the cheating accusations and sometimes correctly, but you know, it's just an amazing sustained success that they've had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to get into it because we could just
it's all been said over the last year and a half.
I'll just say this. Everybody cheats. And this was not a major thing. There was a cover up, obviously, but you know what? It's way overblown and it is interesting, but let's talk about some fantasy football.
Sure.
So if Gronk is out for those 2 or 3 weeks, How high do you consider Martellus Bennett as a tight end? Is he in the top five all of a sudden?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, it's like sort of like you said with Benjamin, you know, it's like Allen's out. Everybody wants to rush up and put him in their top, whatever. And it's kind of the same with Bennett. Like I did it the other day. I think I had him on in the fifth spot at tight end on Fantasy Pros last for week one. And, you know, they kept him in because the other thing people forget with Brady's out, Gronk's out. Almost their entire offensive line is out. Like their best player is a rookie that they drafted in the second rounds on the line right now this year. So they've got two tackles that just aren't very good. So I think for the most part, you might see Bennett into block a lot, just like he was the other night. You got a couple passes. So, you know, they might use him in the red zone here and there, but at the same time, you also might see him, you know, with those 3-4 catch for 40 yard lines. So, you know, I like Bennett. I think he's got top five upside every week, but, you know, I think he's got like a tight end 15 floor, really. So it's he's got a little bit of variance.
Yeah, I'm definitely considering him a tight end one until Gronk comes back. I made the mistake of having him number five on my rankings as well, and it didn't work out. But that doesn't mean we were wrong. It means the game just didn't work out that way. There's yeah, so much variance right. In the way things happen. There's a lot of volatility in fantasy football. So you win some, you lose some. Now, one that I definitely lost this season, well, it's looking that way at least. I was really high in Sammy Watkins. Now, obviously, there was always the foot concern. It's the same injury as Dez Bryant had last year, and it looks like they're bringing him back too soon. So there was a report earlier today that Sammy Watkins was going to miss considerable time. They might even shut him down for the entire season. And now Sammy Watkins is saying, no, I'm playing on Thursday. So what is it? Is Sammy Watkins going to be good to go, or what is going on here?
Yeah, I've seen anything from I'm playing on Thursday to articles about how his career might be in jeopardy. So,
yes.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, like most things, truth's probably somewhere in the middle. So, you know, we might be looking at what was Brian out like 6 or 8 games, something like that. So, yeah, I think we're looking at the same probably with Watkins, which is a bummer. I was with you. I thought he'd have a big year. You know, Tyrod coming off that big deal. excuse me. Have a little comfort with each other. But, yeah, it's looking like a lost year maybe for him.
What does this do to Tyrod Taylor? Without Sammy Watkins, he doesn't really have anyone. I mean, Robert Woods, that's not going to do the trick. So is Tyrod droppable at this moment?
I think he's borderline. Yeah. I mean, it depends on your roster. I think he's one of those guys, even for everybody that liked him a lot, you know, I think some people might have just been getting cute, but like I saw him up in like the top 6-7 on some rankings, I think. So, which is fine. But at the same time, if you look at both his offense as well as his supporting cast, there's not much besides Watkins. I mean, I like Charles Clay enough and Woods is okay. But for the most part, Watkins was really going to be his bread and butter this year. So, you know, hopefully he's not out too long. If he is, I think Tyrod's probably maybe like a QB 15 to 18 range type guy with upside every week. Cause he can give you those rushing yards, but that's when it worries me cause he can get hurt. But yeah, I mean, I think Tyrod's one of those guys where he's probably more of a streamer every week right now. The other thing this does is it kind of worries me a little bit for McCoy because they were kind of a ground and pound, as Rex likes to say, team anyways. So, you know, you might see defenses stacking the line a little bit more than they would have against McCoy now. So not a good thing for anybody, really, if Watkins is out for extended time.
Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right. Another situation that's just like, what's going on here is Jamaal Charles. Everyone was saying he was going to be ready for week one. Then all of a sudden he might not be ready and then he's out. How long is he going to be out? I mean, Spencer Ware was phenomenal. So there's no reason to bring him back, but Ware owners and Charles owners want to know, like, is this going to be a 6-7 week kind of thing? Or is he going to come back week two?
Yeah. And, you know, Reed's a little bit like Belichick where he's just kind of weird with what he does and you can never really predict it. So in different ways, but you know, you might see him back this week with like, you know, a 20 snap limit or something like weird like that. And then they might ease him into 40 snaps and 50 snaps or whatever over the next few weeks. But yeah, like you said, Ware looked good the other night. West was only, I think, 4 snaps behind Ware. So they've got a nice dual headed monster there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried if you own Charles, or I would be at least. I don't know. Do they look to trade him maybe? Do they look to trade one of Ware and West? I would if I were them. But if Charles is healthy, that is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what this really means for Charles. I don't know if his job is maybe fully in jeopardy, but I think he's definitely more of like, if you know, going back to that redraft comment, you know, I think he's more of a, what, fourth, fifth round? Is that crazy to say a guy than a second rounder, which he was a few weeks ago?
You know, and it's wild to say that he could lose his job. He probably won't, because he's the all-time leading rusher in terms of yards per carry in NFL history. He's always had at least 5 yards per carry every season of his career. No starter did that last year. I mean, Jamaal Charles has had an amazing career when he's healthy. So to say that he could lose his job just shows you how talented Spencer Ware is. But the thing is, Spencer Ware, if you were watching the game the other day, they could split him out wide and he'd still be dangerous. He might even be better than Jeremy Maclin. He is so good.
Yeah, and you know, I think the thing is if Charles is remotely healthy, they'll use him somehow. You know, I mean, he's a fantastic player, like you said. I mean, they're gonna use him in some way, shape, or form if they can. But I think it's like you said, Ware is just looking really good right now. They have Maclin, they have Kelsey. So I think in terms of, you know, 2-3 years ago or even last year when the offense really revolved around Charles, I think we see that take a step back, even if he is healthy this year.
All right, and then finally, RG3 fractured a bone in his shoulder, and he's going to be out. They're saying they're going to reevaluate him in 3 to 4 weeks, but we're probably looking at 2 months at least, maybe out for the season. In fact, probably out for the season.
I think they put him on IR today, which means he is out, right?
There's one spot where they can bring him back onto the roster, and I think that's after 8 weeks.
Confuse me. I can never keep up.
I hit all these rules. But, you know, RG3, no one's starting him in fantasy unless you're in a 2QB league. So what really matters is, how's this going to affect Josh Gordon when he comes back, Gary Barnage, who obviously McCown loves, Tyrell Pryor, who seemed to pass Corey Coleman? How does this affect these guys?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of bummed, and not because I'm a Browns fan or an RG3 fan or anything like that, but I thought that offense was going to be fun to watch as long as he stayed healthy. I mean, it was, you would just have burners, really, with Coleman and Gordon, Pryor and Barnage. I mean, that would have been a nice offense as long as he stayed healthy, and obviously that didn't last long at all. I don't think it helps him, but I don't think McCown's that much worse either. I mean, actually,
probably better, I think.
He might be. It depends on,
in terms of passing yards for these receivers.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's like some of those down, like those big plays, I think RG3 might have been better. But yeah, you know, it's like literally 10 minutes before I came on with you, I was just reading an article, I think it was by a Ravens beat writer, saying how it was a bad thing that RG3 is out for Ravens fans because McCown does really well against the Ravens. So they had all these stats where I think he's averaged like 330 yards a game against the Ravens or something like that. So yeah, I don't think it hurts those guys too much, you know, if at all. And like you said, maybe it helps them. You know, I like RG3, but he's not exactly the most consistent quarterback either.
Now, the thing I'm wondering, now obviously I'm not going to count on an injury from anyone or root from an injury, but it sure would be interesting. If McCown gets hurt, does Tyrell Pryor get a chance at the quarterback spot? How fun would that be?
Yeah, you know, I'm honestly not that familiar with the Browns roster to know who their third quarterback is. But yeah, I mean, that would be interesting, huh? I don't know if they'd throw it kind of, well, they've probably thrown the season already.
This is mostly a joke. I mean, it would be so fun, but I highly doubt.
I mean, who knows, man? He wasn't too bad a couple of years ago.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm wondering is, I'm looking at the waiver wire, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. There's not that many interesting pieces out there this week because it's after week one. So if you're losing Keenan Allen, or if Sammy Watkins does end up being out for a while, instead of picking someone up, who's someone that would be a good buy low candidate that we could target via trade?
Yeah, so, you know, I think anytime you're looking to buy low, it's almost like you got to sort of like sniff out who's going to have a knee-jerk reaction and to what. So, like, I like to kind of just look through targets for wide receivers and see like who had a ton of targets but didn't really have a lot of output for it. I mean, I think as long as you're getting targets as a wide receiver, that's pretty safe. You know, like you're going to come through at some point. And especially with, you know, the way things are with people playing fantasy now, it's everything's so knee jerk. Guys that had a, you know, pretty good target week, but maybe not a lot of output, like Allen Robinson, you know, he was a first and early second round pick for a lot of people. He led the league in targets yesterday, but I think he only had like 9 PPR points or something like that, maybe a couple more, but he just didn't have a great game, but they looked at him a ton and he played a good team. And he had a couple balls that you could have argued were interference, and you know, there were a couple he maybe should have caught. So I think those are the types of guys where it's like, man, if you can steal like a first round type guy like him for maybe 2 pieces that did well, like, hey, maybe you throw Ware at him and maybe like another piece. And then you kind of steal Robinson off somebody or Jarvis Landry. You know, he had one of the tougher matchups. It's not the toughest that you can have. And he actually, you know, had a lot of targets. He did all right, actually, considering the circumstances. So he's another guy, you know, their offense more or less goes through him. Golden Tate, you know, he's another one. I think that offense is going to more or less run through him. And Stafford looked good
and
yesterday.
There's so much hype with Marvin Jones, which I'm not buying at all. So yeah, Golden Tate, Jarvis Landry, those are great ones.
I agree. Randall Cobb's another one. I mean, you know, everybody's kind of down on him last year. And I think this is just my opinion, and I think a lot of people share it. He suffered from having to be the number one last year. And, you know, Nelson being back really helps him a lot. And I think, again, this is a guy that went in like the 3rd, 4th round of most drafts. And, you know, what was it, just 2 years ago, he was a top 15 player. So he had an okay game yesterday, not a great one. You might be able to get his owner, you know, feeling a little frustrated, or, you know, maybe the Brandon Marshall owner. So, you know, there's a lot of those guys, especially at wide receiver. You can look and just look at targets, and same with running back. You can look and see who's getting carries and maybe didn't have a great game, and just kind of go from there.
This is a little bit on a different note, because it's not necessarily a buy low, but a player that I think is severely underrated right now is Steve Smith. He had 9 targets again, which was 26.5% of the targets on the Ravens. I mean, next most was Mike Wallace had 6. He's going to keep getting targets as long as he's healthy. I know he's not getting a ton of snaps and he's not as explosive as he once was. But if, like you said, if you're getting targets, you're going to get yards and you're going to get your touchdowns. And Steve Smith was very good when he was healthy last year. And I didn't understand why he was being drafted in, what, the 11th, 12th round, maybe even later in a lot of leagues. But, you know, if you can grab him real cheap and you just lost one of these guys, Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins, I'd be looking at the Steve Smith owner, and maybe he's even on your free agents. He's on the waiver wire for a bunch of leagues, and that's the guy that I would look at, Steve Smith.
I'm with you. I like Steve. You know, he's obviously an injury risk just because of his age, but yeah, he was. I agree with you. Every draft, I was like, why is there a guy who might be his team's number one wide receiver sitting here in the 10th round? Like, I don't understand. So yeah, I think he's a guy. If you can't pick him up off the waiver wire, you can probably get him for free, really.
Let's jump over to the waiver wire, and this is going to be exciting for me every week, except for really this week. I'm looking at the running backs, and I don't see anybody that excites me. Theo Riddick, maybe. He's owned in about 30% of leagues, and yes, he's going to be great in PPR leagues, but he's already owned in PPR leagues. He got 7 carries, which is more than I expected. You know, it looks like those Lions targets from Calvin Johnson are going to be redistributed to some of those running backs, Abdullah and Riddick, but he's not running the ball enough. He's not going to get the ball in the red zone. So I'm not picking him up. Who do you like? Is there anybody that you're adding?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really love running back this week. You know, if you're in a PPR league, I think James White's a guy to look at. You know, it depends on like in ESPN leagues. I think he fits your threshold, and Yahoo not. I forget which one. But, you know, if you're in a PPR league, I think White's the guy that he's not Deion Lewis, but he has that role. And it's a role that Belichick's always done well with Kevin Falk and Deion Lewis and Shane Vereen and now White. So, you know, he's not a spectacular player, but he's going to get probably 4 to 5 catches a game, and he'll run the ball a couple times. And you know, he does get end zone looks too, which is kind of weird, but he does. So, you know, he's a guy I'd look at in PPR leagues. DeAndre Washington looked good. I think he's more of a handcuff for Murray. But yeah, like that's kind of the bottom of the barrel, like you said, with running back, where I'm down to DeAndre Washington.
I think he's probably a little too small to be a feature back if Murray does grow.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want to get really crazy and you have a free spot, add Marshawn Lynch. I mean, maybe he comes back. There were rumors last week.
Interesting.
Matt Jones didn't look too great tonight. So, hey, you know, you never know.
Now, another guy that, you know, if you're looking for a running back, he's on the waiver wire in 80% of leagues. And I didn't really think about this at first because he's not in the waiver wire in any of my leagues. That's because I own him in every single league, is Jerick McKinnon. I don't understand how he's available in so many leagues. I mean,
is he really? That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing? He was so good at the end of last season, catching balls out of the backfield as, you know, kind of a third down back. Even though AP's there, he gets plenty of carries every game because they're so committed to running the ball, and they're going to be with Teddy Bridgewater out. It's not going to change at all. So Jerick McKinnon he's flex worthy right now. And if AP goes down, Jerick McKinnon's an RB1. So why not add him, right?
I mean, he's the handcuff for, you know, one of the better running backs in fantasy football. Yeah. So and even when he's not a handcuff, he's, like you said, he's a pretty, you know, serviceable guy, especially in PPR leagues. So, yeah, I don't really understand why he's not owned that well. I haven't seen any leagues like that. But, yeah, I think you're right. His percentage is really low, but I don't know any leagues where he's not owned. I don't know. I don't really know how they run those percentages, but it seems a little bit off.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does seem off to me too. But, you know, I'm looking at most of the other ones and they all seem accurate. So maybe it's just because we play in leagues with smart guys or something.
Yeah. No, they need to rerun the algorithm.
Yep. All right. Let's look at wide receivers. And there are some better options here. We're watching Eli Rogers turn into a Big Ben's number two guy tonight. And he looks impressive. That is a talented young man. And then Tajae Sharp, who had 11 targets. Those are two guys I really like. Now, Davante Adams, who, as we mentioned earlier, was a top 50 wide receiver to start the year last year. Now, that didn't work out. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't really seem to have much of a connection with him. But he made some really impressive plays. He was pretty good yesterday. I was really impressed. And he seems to have that number three job sealed down for the Packers. So what do you think about these guys, Sharp, Davante Adams, and Eli Rogers?
Yeah, I mean, Adams is one of those guys, and it sounds like you're the same, if I'm reading between the lines here, where it's just like, I can't go there again.
Yes. You
know, like, I just don't know if I can do it again.
I had to mention it, but I'm not doing it.
No, I mean, I'm sure he'll be in a lot of articles this week, and it's like I was one of those people that was kind of big on him last year, and then I started watching him more, and it was like, this guy's not that good. And they just have an offense where there's so many mouths to feed too, especially with Jared Cook in town now. I'm not really in on him. I like Rogers. The one, I guess, a little bit of cold water I'd pour on that is that Wheaton was out.
You're right.
I do like Wheaton. So I like Rogers. I'd pick him up, but I don't think you can expect this much from him every week. And then who was the last one? Sharp. You know what? I like Sharp the most out of all of them. I just think he seems like he's got a really good rapport with Mariota. He's kind of their number one. He was on the field for all of...
Isn't it amazing?
All but four snaps. Yeah, he was the 15th receiver taken in the draft this year. I mean, it's nuts. So, yeah, I mean, I like him. I'd add him, you know, over all those guys you mentioned and anybody we're going to mention probably in the next couple minutes. So, yeah, I think he's the number one waiver ad this week, probably.
A month ago, Sharp was drafted in, what, 2% of leagues? And now all
Something
of a sudden
like
they
that,
trade Doriel
yeah.
Green Beckham, and Tajae Sharp is the number one guy. It's just amazing.
And I think Rashard Matthews isn't kind of a bad one either, but, you know, he didn't get as many snaps. Yeah, Sharp's the guy. It's crazy. This is the one of the weird things about football, and it's great though.
Another guy that I'd like to talk about, and this is a really intriguing one to me, even beyond Eli Rogers. This is the one player that I'm picking up if he's available in my league. It's Philip Dorsett. It looks like he's going to be a big part of Andrew Luck's offense in Indy, and you know they're going to throw the ball 650 times. Keep in mind, Philip Dorsett ran a 4.3340. He is lightning fast.
He's a good player. I mean, he was one of those guys where everyone was like, why are they taking him? They need a lineman, they need defense, whatever. And you know, he was a first round talent for a reason. He had injuries last year. So, yeah, I mean, he worries me just a tad because they have Moncrief and Hilton ahead of him. But you're right. It looked great the other night. They're going to throw the ball a ton. They face some not so great defenses in their division. So although the Jags looked a little better the other day, but yeah, I mean, I think he's one of those guys you add, maybe right behind Sharp.
Nick, is there any other wide receiver that stands out to you this week?
I like a few actually. I think Chris Hogan looked really good the other
night.
There you go.
Good call.
He's one of those guys that could put up like Brandon LaFell numbers from 2 years ago, which isn't otherworldly, but it was, you know, it was like a seventh or eighth round value. So, you know, I think Hogan's one of those guys that is out there in most leagues. It's worth taking a look at. I like Curse out in Seattle. You know, he's like their 2/3 receiver, but there's games where he gets more looks than Lockett does, especially in the end zone. Beasley got a ton of targets the other day. I don't love him, but I look at that and I say, hey, maybe Prescott's getting familiar with him.
Yeah.
So those are always things to look for. And I know it sounds like cheesy with, you know, QB rapport or whatever, but it's real. Mike Wallace looked pretty good the other day, and Flacco throws a good deep ball. He's another guy to look at.
Yeah, that's a great point. Breshad Perriman with that big haul that he had. That was fantastic catch.
Yeah, he's available probably in quite a few leagues as well. We mentioned Williams before from San Diego, and you know, I don't know how you feel about this one, but like I might grab Victor Cruz a bunch this week. He looked good the other day.
He's going to get the snaps. I mean, they're easing him back in, but eventually the Giants run a ton of wide receiver three wide receiver.
And they throw a lot. They want to throw a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they run a, you know, Eli's put up like 4,500 yards the last couple of years. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Cruz is probably going to get hurt at some point, but he looked good the other day.
And, you know, Odell Beckham's going to draw, 5-6 defenders every play. So that's got to leave someone open.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's move over to tight end. And it is ugly once you get under 40% owned. There's some guys with a little bit of upside. You know, maybe a Clive Walford, he's the number three guy in Oakland. They really don't have anyone besides Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Walford's going to get some looks. But the guy that stands out to me with upside is Virgil Green. He's the most athletic of the bunch. And he plays for an offense where, look, you got Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. So, of course, they're going to get most of the targets. But if they have to pass the ball, Virgil Green's not a bad option.
Yeah, Green's a good player. I think, you know, he hinges a little bit on the quarterback play there, and I'm not really sold on Simeon at all. So, you know, maybe he gets better if Lynch comes in. But, yeah, I think he's a guy to look at. Their tight end's bad this week. I actually just lost Ertz, so I'm kind of in this boat looking at guys that we're talking about. Tammy got a lot of looks in Atlanta this week. You know, he's not the best player in the world. He's getting older. Yeah, he doesn't get me excited either. But again, it's like if you're looking for targets, it's not the worst thing to do. Kyle Rudolph looked all right, but at the same time, it's like how much does Sean Hill actually play? Like I would imagine they want Bradford in there at some point. So you can't really look at his numbers with Hill the other day and say that's going to happen going forward. So, and plus it's Kyle Rudolph. I mean,
if you're thinking about picking up Tammy or Kyle Rudolph and you're listening, I've just got to say, you really screwed up this preseason. You blew it. I'm sorry.
Dude, I'm in that situation. I have, it's all good. No offense. I mean, I have Ertz going down and I have Green on my IR. So I'm looking at Tammy right now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't exactly blow that. That was some tough luck.
Yeah, what can you do, right?
Now, a lot of people are going to be talking about, you know, go get Austin Seferin Jenkins. He got a touchdown. He was one of the top scoring tight ends. He had 18 snaps. He was third on the team for tight end snaps behind Cameron Brate and Luke Stalker. Do not pick this guy up.
he's like literally the definition of fool's gold. He had one target. I mean, you can't really be too happy about that.
That was a really good catch.
It was, and he's a good player. Yeah, I think he's just got a bad attitude, and they've kind of buried him on the bench. And maybe they want him to succeed and prove himself, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Please do not pick him up. Please do not pick him up.
That's a good PSA. I like it.
If you do pick him up, at least don't tell people that you're listening to my podcast, because I don't want people to think that we're giving out bad advice or something.
Yeah, stay away.
All right, Nick, finally, I want to talk about what happened in week one and how player stocks have changed since then. Let's start at the quarterback position. We already talked about Tyrod Taylor, who has me absolutely panicking. Who's one quarterback who really impressed you this week? And their stock is a lot higher as far as you're concerned.
I mean, I think Winston's the obvious answer. He looked great the other day. He actually looked pretty good at the end of last year. And I think we all kind of just forgot about it or something, because I didn't see a lot of people talking him up at all. He's got a good young receiver with Evans. Maybe Seferian Jenkins catches on eventually, but he's still got V-Jax, who didn't really do a lot yesterday, actually. But yeah, I mean, Winston's a good player. He can do a little bit with his legs. So I think he's probably the one that impressed, I would imagine, everybody the most this weekend. Alex Smith looked good, you know. I mean, he got a lot of those points in the comeback, but he's kind of sneaky, you know. He's not too exciting. He doesn't have a ton of receiving threats other than Kelce and Macklin. But Conley showed up yesterday, and Smith put up, what, like 350 yards or something like that?
And so, I like Albert Wilson, too. I don't think
Wilson's not too bad, yep.
I don't think his surrounding cast is all that bad, especially when you have Ware coming out of the backfield and running deep routes. I mean,
true.
They've got some stuff going on in Kansas City, and he's always been a solid quarterback. If you need to pick someone up, you can rely on Alex Smith. Now, another guy that I think is going to come into that territory, I was amazed how ready Carson Wentz is. This kid can play some football already.
And he can do a little bit with his legs, too. Right. Like, I was talking with somebody the other day on Twitter. I forget who it was. John Proctor, I think his name was. He's a writer. And he want to give him credit. We were talking about it, and I was like, we were talking about Dak Prescott as a DFS play. And I was like, you know, Wentz might not be the worst pivot, just to kind of be different a little bit. And he was like, yeah, that's a good call. You know, he does a little bit with his legs, and he's got a pretty good offense. And, you know, he's playing a bad defense last weekend. So that worries me a little bit about him going forward. But he looked good. You know, he's got Matthews. He's got Sproles out of the backfield, and actually both Matthewses, and Aguilar and what's his name? Green Beckham. So, you know, he's got a pretty good receiving core. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd rush to grab him right now, but if you're in a 2QB league and you snagged him at the end of your draft, you're probably pretty psyched right now.
Yep, I definitely agree. You know, we were talking about Alex Smith, and I always thought that he was so boring, just a vanilla quarterback. Did you watch that game?
He was going nuts.
He is fiery, man.
Yeah. I always thought he was pretty milk toast as well, but yeah, he's...
Maybe this is a new thing. Maybe he's going to turn into like Tom Brady all of a sudden.
Hey, it might not be the worst thing for him,
actually. He was drafted 6 rounds higher, you know.
This is true.
All right, let's take a look at the running backs. And I hate to say this, but, you know, I'm going to be saying this every week. I was wrong about C.J. Anderson. I was so wrong about C.J. Anderson and Matt Forte, too. I had these guys really low in my draft list, and I had them really, really low week one, and they both looked very good.
Yeah, Anderson looked good, and I don't know if you've had him on yet, but you should have Jake Seeley on your podcast. And
he's great.
Tell him that, because he loves CJ. I thought Anderson looked really good, and Forte as well. And Forte got a lot of carries. That was the other thing I was interested to see. I think he had 22, and you know, Anderson obviously looked great against a good defense too. So yeah, I mean, I think both of those guys are probably at the top, if not the top two, of the impressive running backs this week.
Is there anyone else who really stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly liked Crowell. I think he put it, you know, he looked pretty good on, I think, 15 or 16 carries. He found the end zone.
That made me so mad. I was a Duke Johnson guy.
I know. Me too. I'm not a Crowell guy, but he looked good. And I read a quote the other day where he said he had a goal of 1,000 yards or something like that. And then they told Hugh Jackson that. Hugh Jackson said, that's it. And I was like, man, he likes Crowell, huh? Like, he thinks he's going to put up more than 1,000 yards. So that made me kind of think twice about him the other day. And then he proved it over the weekend. So, yeah, I liked him. Obviously, Riddick and Sims both looked good in PPR leagues. Ware impressed me a lot. Even LeGarrette Blount actually looked better than I thought he was going to look. He ran hard. You know, he kind of loafs around a lot. And he ran with a purpose other than the fumble last night. So
is he going to lose his job now? Or are they just going to put him on the bench?
They put him back out the next drive. I was completely shocked. Yeah. I don't know who he would lose his job to. I mean, they don't really have anybody else on the roster that other than like Bolden, and he's no good. So
pick up Carlos Williams. That would make one of our developers so happy. He kept Carlos Williams in our keeper league.
Wow. That's pretty insane. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but yeah, I don't think they do that.
Now, what about on the opposite end of the spectrum? Who are some running backs that really concerned you? One for me is Devontae Freeman. Oh, man, would I be panicking if he was on my teams. Fortunately, I knew better.
He's at the top of my list. Yeah, he almost split. I think he might have even split, but it was close to it. Split snaps with Coleman. So, yeah, if you took him in the second round, you got to be hitting the panic button right now. And if you took Coleman in a later round and didn't have Freeman, you know, you should be maybe trying to trade him to the Freeman owner. Yeah, I don't know. Freeman's worrisome right now, and I liked him a lot last year. He looked really, really good in short stretches, and then he got hurt towards the ends. But, yeah, they like Coleman. They're phasing him in, and that's definitely a worrisome one. You know, they were playing, I will say, they were playing from behind. So, you know, they used Coleman a little bit more than they would if they were playing with a lead or, you know, close. So I wouldn't be panicking completely, but I'd either be, like, tapping or close to smacking the panic button right now. AP worried me a tad, just not him really, just more so the situation. Like, the run blocking didn't look good.
Tennessee's great at defending the run, though.
They are. But, you know, Hill's Hill, and
yeah, you're
he's
right.
Not going to get any better, and I don't know if Bradford's any better, to be honest. So I worry a little bit, and you know, he's proven us wrong in those situations before when they had, like, Joe Webb at quarterback a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So maybe he'll prove me wrong here, too. But he is getting up there in age, and, you know, how many years can he carry that offense? I worry about him a little bit, not a ton. I don't really love Eddie Lacy to begin with, and he looked good in spurts the other night, but I feel like that's how they're going to use him. Like, I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of 20 carry games out of him. And I think the other day it might have proved that. So,
I think it was just the game script. I'm really high on Eddie Lacy, and I'm going to try to buy low on him here in week 2 after I think he has another kind of slow game.
They also gave Starks at least one goal line carry, though. So McCarthy does like Starks for whatever reason. And that worries me a tad. But yeah, Lacy looked good, though, I will say, when he did carry the ball. And then Gore, you know, he's the other one. It's like, what year is he going to fall off? And he looked okay the other day. Not great, not horrible. But he worries me just in that they don't have anybody else to spell him. So he's going to, you know, put some more wear on those tires. And they just don't have a good line. And they're, you know, we said before, they're probably going to throw the ball like 600 times this year. So, you know, I don't hate any of those guys, but Gore, AP, and Lacy worried me, as well as Freeman.
Now, you brought up Tevin Coleman, and we really should have talked about him in the waiver wire segment, because he is available in just a tad over 50% of leagues, which is just absolutely nuts. If he is available in your league, do whatever you have to do. Drop like your 8th round pick if you have to get Tevin Coleman, because he needs to be owned in 100% of leagues right now. He's extremely good.
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up perfectly. He shouldn't be on the waiver wire right now.
All right, let's jump over to wide receiver now that we covered Tevin Coleman. I just didn't even think to bring him up. It's like Jerick McKinnon. He's owned in every single one of my leagues. Yeah. So in what league is he actually available?
I don't know, man.
Obviously, you're not listening to this podcast.
I mean, maybe they're running like 8-team, you know, waiver wire reports, but yeah. I don't know. That's a weird one.
All right, wide receiver. I'm really high on Jordan Matthews after week 1. 14 targets.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in. I've always liked him. He had, you know, he has the dropsies sometimes, so
yeah,
you got to worry about that. But yeah, I mean, I think Wentz is ultimately going to be an improvement from what Matthews has had the last couple of years. I think Peterson's probably a little bit better for him than Chip Kelly might have been, which is crazy to say.
Isn't that weird?
I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, I like Matthews a lot. I think we talked about Benjamin obviously before. Willie Snead looked really good. You know, Breeze isn't going to throw for, what was it, like 450 yards or whatever.
Yes.
Every game. So I don't know if he can, you're right. He might.
They're going to have to keep up with all those points. Opponents are going to score on their defense.
Oh my goodness. You're not kidding. But Thomas came on a little bit. So like, I wasn't big on Snead going into yesterday. I come out higher on him, but I still worry because Thomas still got,
he was playing banged up. Thomas was.
He was, and he still got targets too. So, you know, I think if you have Snead, you might want to sell high on him if somebody's buying into the fact that he's like a
agreed,
you know, top 20 receiver or something like that. But he looked good. Fitz looked good. I've always been, you know, saying people are drafting Fitzgerald too low.
Fitz was my guy. Got him in every league.
Yeah. And he was going in like, what, like the 6th round, which is crazy.
Not in my leagues. I was taking him in like the 3rd just to make sure I got him.
Yeah, no, you're smart. I mean, I saw him drop and, you know, I did a lot of MFL 10s this year and he was going in like the 50, 60 range in some of them. I was like, what is happening? So yeah, I think he looked good. Obviously showed he's not, you know, he hasn't lost a step yet. I thought Edelman looked better than I expected him to as well. I thought all those Patriots receivers were going to struggle with Jimmy G, and Edelman really carried the offense. Now Gronk comes back whenever, and, you know, limits that a tad probably. But I still think Edelman, as long as he's healthy, is, you know, top guy.
That's the thing about Edelman is that injury's coming. I hate to say it, but
it probably
coming for
is.
Anyone yeah. in the league now that Keenan Allen's down, it's Edelman.
In the way he plays too. Yeah. It's just like he looks for contact almost sometimes with the ball boy. But yeah, those were the guys that probably stuck out to me the most. And Wallace too, you know, like we talked about him a little bit. If Joe Flacco is not elite, but he throws a good deep ball, and that's really what all Wallace does well. So, you know, he's going to be hit or miss, but you could get some of those like 80-yard touchdown games out of Wallace this year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Another guy that stands out to me, and this is another player where I'm just shaking my head because I was so wrong, Kelvin Benjamin. Man, was he impressive coming back from that injury. I thought he was going to play like 20 snaps and get, I don't know, two receptions for 15 yards. He was awesome.
Dude, I had him at like, I think I moved him down to like 36 or something in my wide receiver rankings.
Because
I was like, I mean, I think everybody did though. You know, it was like good defense against him, snap count. You know, maybe Funchess steps up a little bit.
I was talking up Funchess so much, too,
and,
man.
And then, you know, then he comes in and does that. So, yeah, I'm with you. He was on my short list of impressive guys this week. It was like, I think every fantasy analyst was like, wait, where's the snap count? Why isn't he? I mean, I think he dropped a couple. But, yeah, he was definitely the, third, fourth round pick that a lot of people had him slotted in at, you know, before we started getting worried about him.
And then finally, which wide receivers are you low on, or at least lower on after week one?
Yeah, you know, V-Jax was one of them. He was one of those guys where I almost thought he might have a better day than Evans just because he's a pretty good receiver. He's getting older, but, you know, he's more or less the same size as Evans and he's sometimes more reliable. So I was like, yeah, you know, sneaky way, V-Jax has a big game over Evans, and that obviously didn't happen. So I was a little disappointed in him. I didn't have too high hopes, but I thought he'd be better. I'm a little disappointed in not so much what they did, but what's going to happen to him, I think, with the Broncos receivers. You know, I think Thomas is going to suffer maybe like a round value than he went in drafts, and probably the same with Sanders. And nothing too extreme, but, you know, if you got Thomas in the at like 25, I think he's maybe like 35, and Sanders same thing. And Thomas is hurt a little bit now too, I guess. So, you know, I don't love their situation. We'll see what happens when and if Lynch comes in, but I think those guys you have to knock down maybe just a tad. John Brown has a little
John
disappointed
Brown.
In, you know,
that's the guy for me.
Yeah, he only had four targets, and he'll have his big games because the Patriots were really just trying to limit downfield stuff, and that's his forte, obviously. So he worries me a little bit, though, just because they have so many mouths to feed there, and, you know, there's the other Brown even on top of Floyd and Fitzgerald. Kamara Aiken disappointed me a little bit. I thought he'd take more of a front seat there, and he obviously didn't. And, you know, I think this guy was a little bit more of a sleeper darling, but Tyler Boyd disappointed me, too. I thought he'd be a bigger part of that offense, and he just wasn't. So, you know, I didn't actually have too many guys on my hugely disappointing receiver list.
Me either. I really only picked one guy, and it was John Brown. I mean, Floyd was not that great, but the reason why is because Belichick, every single game, picks one guy to shut down, and Butler just shut down Floyd. And it's because Belichick thinks Floyd is their best receiver. Now, John Brown didn't have any kind of attention like that, and he did nothing. And I know he's had the headaches and the concussion issues, but that's another reason to be concerned. I mean, there were a lot of people I was talking to saying John Brown was going to be the number one in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. That might be a little extreme, but yeah. I mean, I think he's one of those guys where they can revolve the offense around him. Sometimes he's that good. But yeah, like, you know, like I said, the Patriots were putting McCourty, you know, at center field basically, and just kind of limiting those downfield plays and really daring Palmer to be patient and go underneath, which he doesn't really like to do. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised they didn't go more to Brown in that aspect where, you know, they could have kind of played him off of Fitzgerald and gone underneath a little bit more and kind of create some plays for him, maybe a swing pass or whatever. But, yeah, I'm not, you know, panicking really on him, but I'm a little bit worried. And like you said, those concussions are tough and sad, really, that these guys are getting them so often. But, you know, on the fantasy side, without the sad human element, you just can't predict them. So it's like, I don't really like to target those guys once you know they have them, just because they get one or two and they miss 4 weeks. So which is, you know, they have other worries besides that, obviously. But in our selfish fantasy ways, we're just like, all right, well, you know, I've got a guy sitting on my bench and I don't know what to do with him at this point.
All right, Nick. Well, that's all the questions we have for you on the show today. Really appreciate you coming on. It was fun to chat with you, and I can't wait to watch more football.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got Jets and Bills on Thursday, which I'm not pumped about.
Me either.
Hey, it's football.
All right, Nick, have a great week.
Yeah, you too, man. Good talking to you.
And that's all we have for you on today's show. On Wednesday's show, we're going to have Matt Litovsky of the Sporting News on to take an in-depth look at week two and get you prepared for sit and start, listener mailbag. And if you want to send us a question to the listener mailbag, email me, Bobby@fantasypros.com, or tweet me at Bobby Fantasy Pro. And we're going to get as many of those on there as we can. If not, I always make a point to respond to every email that's sent to me. So go ahead and send those in. I'll answer them all, even if it's just a short little answer. I'll get you guys an answer. And then on Friday, we're going to have the DFS episode. So if you're playing FanDuel, DraftKings, Yahoo, what have you, please make sure to listen to that. Last week's show was great. We gave some really good advice, like starting Spencer Ware. We both agreed that you had to start Spencer Ware. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what Josh Richardson has to say. He's a great DFS mind, and just looking forward to chatting with him about that. So please listen to those shows. And if you haven't, please subscribe to iTunes so we can get some more exposure. I mean, the podcast hasn't even been around for 2 months, so we want to get as many people listening to it as possible. And that's a big help when you guys subscribe, rate us, and review. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.